Hey, it's Tony and Jenny Brewski from Real Ghost Stories Online. You know, we love doing this show for you every single week, but doing the show is not free. So if you enjoy the show, we ask maybe consider helping us out a bit and supporting it.
You can do that by becoming an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
EPP means extra podcast person. You get an extra podcast for your support of the show. Every single week, we send you a brand new one.
And you get access to our past archive of EPP episodes as well.
Right now, that's more than 15 bonus episodes along with the weekly episode that you'll be getting every single week for only $5 a month.
If you like the show, help keep us on the air.
And become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com today.
And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Today, a trip to the cemetery to find closure gives one family a startling message. A friendly deceased neighbor returns to check on a single mother and her two sons. A night in a haunted hotel to ghost hunt leaves an investigator down about the lack of activity. That is, until he reviews his photos to find something was investigating him as well. And would you tell your loved one it was their time to go if you knew when they were going to die? Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I am doing well. If you knew your loved one was going to die and they didn't know it, would you tell them?
No.
No?
No, nobody needs to know that.
Even if you... It'd be a really difficult thing to know for sure. I mean, unless you had, like, information from a doctor, and I'm assuming this is not like the doctor told me they were going to die. It's probably something more paranormal-esque, considering the nature of our show.
Yes.
So, could you take that verbatim? Is it something you could walk away from being 99% confident that the ghost or whatever in the story, or in a situation of the sort, is accurate?
I think in the case that we're going to talk about, probably so.
That.
Yeah.
Accurate, really. Okay. Well, that's interesting. All right.
Yeah, and I would not share that with them.
No?
Nobody needs to know when exactly they're going to die.
But what if you could prevent it, like Final Destination or Back to the Future?
No, it's... At least as far as in this story, it's not something that's preventable.
Okay. So they pretty much just... They're going to die no matter what.
Pretty much.
All right. Well, I'm excited to hear about some death. It's coming up just a little bit here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855... It's much better than saying weather next. Like, we're talking about some death next.
Uh-huh.
If you have a ghost story, please give us a buzz. 855-853-4802. That's the phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, you can always write in your story on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you enjoy the show, well, hey, help spread the word, please. Tell your friends about it. Maybe do some sharing on Facebook, Twitter. Pinterest is always a fun place to do some sharing. You love your Pinterest.
I do love my Pinterest.
Do you have a ghost board on Pinterest?
No.
With ghost stories?
Haven't done that yet.
That'd be interesting.
I wonder if...
I do. I try to share some of them or ours out on my Pinterest.
I didn't even know that was out there.
No, not many people do.
Okay.
I don't really publicize it. It's just kind of there. I just try to get it kind of going. And every once in a while, some other people pin. I don't have a ton of followers. I don't really publicize that it's even there. But pin it on your own, Pinterest. And hopefully we can get more folks to discover the show. That's a great way to discover the show. And it's a way to help us grow if you enjoy the show. 855-853-4802, our number. Will writes in, hello again, Tony and Jenny. This is Will from Southern Indiana again. To refresh your memory, I wrote in about my Job Corps story, and I believe the story of my grandmother. Can you give us a quick refresher on what those were about? Do you recall?
I wish I could, but I don't honestly remember exactly which story it was.
We stumped Jenny.
After 6 months, that's pretty good, right?
We stumped Jenny. The world is coming to an end. You're usually really good at that.
I
so
know.
I don't blame you whatsoever. Congratulations. You are starting to think like me.
Thank you.
Meaning lack thereof.
Oh, great. That's what I strive for.
Because I'm really horrible. You asked me about something we talked about last week, and I'm like, I don't have short-term memory anymore. I hate to see what it's going to be like in like 30 or 40 years from now.
Yeah, really.
What did we talk about 5 minutes ago, Tony? I don't know. Ice cream? I don't know. All right, so continuing on. Anyway, I was listening to one of your recent stories where you were reading the story from a listener about her experience in a cemetery. And I remembered a story that happened to me, but I forgot until then. Here's what happened to me without too many unneeded details. Several years ago, my cousin was struggling with behavioral issues stemming back to before her father died. And one day, our family, her adoptive related family, decided to take her to the cemetery where her father was put to rest for her to get that proverbial closure. The cemetery was relatively small and, for the most part, really old, Civil War era, for and around that time frame, with the overturned tombstones and such. While we were there, I decided to take some photos, since I was into the ghost hunting craze back then, and after about 30 minutes, it was time for us to go. But before we did, I snapped a few photos of her and her adoptive mother sitting near the spot where her father was buried. We left, and when we got home, I was excited to see if I got any interesting photos from our outing. Sure enough, I did. Oddly enough, most photos did not turn out to amount to much, but one photo did, and it was the photo I took last before we left. I couldn't read what it said, but above some tombstones there was writing which looked like it was written in smoke or fog. From what I remember, the best I could describe what it said was, "Leave us alone," or "Go away." I no longer have the photo around as it has been lost to time, but this photo still sticks in my head when I remember it. I don't believe this was a message from my deceased uncle or grandmother who is buried in the area. Thank you both for reading my previous story, and I want to commend you two for doing an excellent job this far. Look forward to listening to the newest installment when it's released. I do plan on becoming an EPP whenever my financial situation brightens up. Also, I remember on the same show you mentioned that theater in Los Angeles where there was segregated seating. I remember there was a theater up south of Indianapolis that's gone to disrepair and is haunted, especially on their third floor segregated seating area as well. Very interesting.
It is very interesting. You know, I just wonder, what would you do if you got that message and you had been to the cemetery and somebody's telling you to get out or go away?
I'd probably get away, get out, get the hell out of there really quick.
Would you ever go back to visit your family, though?
You know, I think if I went once, I'd be good. Especially if it's that distant of family.
Okay.
You know, you never really... It'd be one thing if it was like my mom or dad. I would brave it out and I would show up again.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like great, great, great grandparents that you really have no connection to other than you know you are bloodline related to them. You know, I don't know. I mean, maybe it sounds heartless, but there's not that much of an emotional connection there. I mean, of course, you're grateful that they had children and their children had children and their children had children. But other than that, I mean, you can't be like, oh, I remember when grandma used to make grits. You know, it's like, no, not really. Grandma probably looked like a grit before you were ever even conceived. So,
okay. No, I don't think I would either. In fact, I will admit that my grandparents that are gone, I wasn't particularly close with, and I actually haven't been back to visit them since they were buried.
Sure.
Just because it's ironic, but they were not the nicest people, and they ended up picking their plots out well into their, like, 60s, and they lived for, like, another 20 years.
Sure.
And then the time frame that that happened, their cemetery where they picked ended up being in a really bad part of town.
Yeah.
It just really went downhill. It's like not even safe to go visit.
Sure.
Unless you just want to be the target of a drive-by.
Sure. Well, I mean, and everybody mourns in different ways, and everybody has different ways of dealing with death and the death of their loved ones. And, you know, I like going to cemeteries not to visit loved ones.
Yeah.
I like going to them, safe ones, more so for the history of it and just kind of the creepy aspect of it somewhat, and especially the older ones, like my favorite Rienzi back in my hometown where it's just the rolling hills, and I have a lot of fond memories of that sort of a cemetery. You know, ones that look like things from Night of the Living Dead. Those are the cemeteries I enjoy visiting. I don't feel any closer to my grandma by going and visiting her in her shelf that she's in the mausoleum.
Her shelf.
She is. She's in
you
a shelf.
You make it sound like she's a book.
You can check her out
oh,
every...
Oh, gosh.
You can prop her up in your living room. But I don't feel any closer to her by going and visiting her where her body is.
Okay.
You know, I feel closer to her by, like, looking at, like, the paintings that she's made or, like, the stuff that she passed down to me. That's how I feel close to her, and just with the memories, not so going and visiting a place that we never really spent much time in when she was alive together.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's more so the memories, I think, that, and, you know, keeping up traditions and stuff that they taught you. This is just me.
Uh-huh.
Than going and visiting a physical place where their remains sit. That's how I feel. I mean,
sure.
It's different for everybody.
Right.
But, I mean, and so, I mean, and that's an immediate relative that I was fairly close with. So I'm even less inclined to want to go back to a great, great, great grandmother or something that I really had nothing to do with.
Sure.
You know, makes sense?
It does make sense.
So there you go.
Okay.
That's my long answer to your question. Let's go over to another letter. Simone writes, and back in 2002, I lived in Madison County, West Virginia, or Mason County, West Virginia, on property that was literally 6 feet from a cemetery. That's neat. Would you live in a, would you do that?
No. If I can see a cemetery, I'm not comfortable.
What if you had the most beautiful home? It was wonderful. It had everything you wanted. The big wraparound porch, and the cemetery wasn't really creepy. It was just kind of like in a field nearby.
It just depends on how creeped out I get.
You could throw a rock and hit a gravestone.
That's too close.
From the porch.
That's not going to happen.
Oh, that'd be fun.
No.
If you looked out the living room window, all you saw were the tombstones in a small church. Oh, that's awesome. What about vacation home? Could we get one like that someday?
No.
It was out in the country with hardly any neighbors except the one in the cemetery. At 2 a.m., I went to go check on my sons as their two dogs had started to bark a lot. My youngest son had fallen asleep on the couch watching TV. When I went to check on him, I glanced out the living room window and saw a man standing in the cemetery next to one of the stones. I woke my son up and looked back out the window. Now, the man was closer to our house and looking at me. When I tell you that every hair on the back of my neck stood up, I'm not exaggerating. So I woke up my other son and told them both to go to my room. By this time, both dogs were trying to jump out the window at him. I called the police, and since we were in the country, they said it might take 20 minutes for them to get to me. The next morning, I know my front door handle was moving like someone was trying to get in. The dogs are still going crazy all this time. Finally, the police got there and looked all around but couldn't find anyone. It had stormed earlier, and they couldn't find any prints in the mud either. About 2 weeks later, my oldest son came from an after-school activity. His friend's aunt had given him a ride. That's when I learned the man I had seen that night was not living, but a ghost. She told me exactly what he looked like, which I had never told anyone, not even my kids. He used to live down the street years ago. She told me he was friends with the family across the street, and their last name was the same as mine. My kids have their dad's last name. She didn't know mine. When I told her, she said, "Don't worry, he was probably just checking up on you." You know that feeling when you meet someone and something's off? That they are not very nice? Well, I would rather he left me alone. That's one of the many stories. Love the show and listen all the time.
The well-meaning ghost that scares the shit out of you in the meantime?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like those.
It's a well-meaning ghost that scares shit out of you.
I don't have anything to say to that.
I should play that theme song every time it shows up.
No, I don't think so.
Complete with jazz hands. And then the ghost shows up. Boo! Yeah, that's a creepy story.
It is.
Thanks for writing in. 855-853-4802. Hey, if you haven't already done so, please press subscribe, whatever platform it is you listen to us on. That little subscribe button, everything has it. That will get the show sent directly to you as we release them Monday through Friday. And you don't have to search for us every single time you want to find a show. And you'll know exactly what the brand new ones are. It's really convenient. It's neat. And it helps us grow. So please consider doing that. Alyssa writes in, "Hey guys, I just listened to you read my story about my grandmother's music box playing on its own and having my hair pulled. I was in a bit of a rush when I wrote in about that, so I thought I'd give you some more details about what was going on in that house. When I was still quite young, I believe there was a young girl about my age that lived in my bedroom. I even remember what I thought she looked like. I kind of like having her there, even though I was always a little scared of her. She always seemed to show up when people were fighting in my house, which was quite frequently. But as I got older, I began to feel less comfortable with her being there. I started to think she wasn't a little girl at all, but something disguised as one to make me feel comfortable around it as a child. I believe it was that she filled me with terror that day and pulled my hair, which only makes me believe even more that she was not any sort of positive entity. Anywhere you went in that house, you would get that creepy feeling of being watched and feeling like you were unwelcome. But those feelings were always the strongest in the kitchen, where my parents most often had their fights, and in my bedroom. I can't say for sure, but I think all the negative energy caused by constant fighting in the house may have drawn in something. Not necessarily malevolent, but at least mischievous, or maybe even just a asshole ghost.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do, an asshole ghost. My next story for you took place 2 years ago when I was 18 and still living with my parents in a new house. It was late at night, and by the time I decided to go to bed and everyone else was already asleep, as I was lying in my bed with all the lights off, I got the sudden sensation of spiders crawling under my blankets all over my legs. I'm deathly afraid of spiders, so I ripped off my covers and reached down to smack the spiders off of me, but there was nothing there. Since it was too dark to really see, I started feeling the bed to see if there was really any spiders, but I didn't find anything. I pulled my covers back up, and within moments, I felt spiders on me again. I just laid there not knowing what to do, knowing there were no spiders, and yet feeling them there anyway. It wasn't long before the spider sensation disappeared, and within seconds of them being gone, I saw in the reflection of my TV screen across the room a long, dark shadow pass over my bed, just a few feet above my head. I tried not to panic, telling myself I was seeing things because it was late and I was tired. It was then that I got the feeling that something was standing next to my bed. I was too scared to move at this point. I just wanted it all to be over. It seemed like I could feel whatever it was moving closer to me, and I felt what seemed like a long, bony finger poke me in the arm. It seemed to disappear after that, and I haven't had any real negative experiences since then. Thanks for reading another one of my stories. It's really great to have a place to share these with others and have had similar experiences. All the best, Alyssa.
I've heard that if you have a ghost touch you and you know it's a ghost touch you, that it feels like cobwebs. So I'm thinking maybe that's where the spider type feeling came from.
We get that a lot.
We do.
The cobweb thing. Yeah. I once had a dream that there was a snake in my bed, and I woke up still kind of thinking it was real, and I flew out of bed.
When was that?
7-8 years ago. I was in my apartment in town here.
Okay.
And I remember just feeling, I don't know, it was like one of those where it was so vivid, and then you wake up and then you still think it's there.
Uh-huh.
And I remember jumping out of bed and then looking around my room and then suddenly catching myself going, oh, now that was a dream.
That's special.
And going back to sleep. I mean, sometimes I'll be like, I'll kick and stuff like I think I'm running,
uh-huh.
You know, but I know it. I'm sleeping and I'm like, oh, that was kind of neat. I'm thinking I'm running, but I'm still in bed. It's rare that I am like getting that active.
Okay.
To pop out of a dream thinking that. I don't think I've ever done that.
No.
When you're around, I remember.
I haven't seen you that. I have seen you prance across the front yard like a little girl when I've yelled that there was a snake in the yard. Mm-hmm. You do like the snake dance thing where you just try and not touch the ground at all.
It was a snake dance, and it was kind of jazz handy. As my hands, I put them flat, you know, to kind of reduce wind turbulence as I, you know, like really large people do when they try and run to get wind resistance, and they put their hands super flat.
It was like you were trying to figure skate on the grass.
Well, I didn't know where it was because I was over on the side gate and I was locking up the gate, and you are over in the driveway, which I can't see you physically from where I'm at because I have to kind of come around the house. And you started yelling, Tony, there's a snake. So honestly, I mean, the first thing I'm thinking is it's in the grass because that's usually where a snake is.
Yeah.
And the only way to get over to you at the concrete is to get through the grass. So I thought, okay, I'm going to have to make some hops and leaps here to get to the concrete. So that's where the prancing began. And then I made a couple prances, and I made it to the concrete, which happened to be where the snake was, on the concrete.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
then I took care of it, end of story.
I helped you kill the snake.
I did all the dirty work, and the girls were cheering me on from the car.
You grabbed the shovel.
Hey, we don't need to get graphic about what happened to the snake.
Why?
It was a poisonous snake. I'll just say that. It was a water moccasin.
Yeah, and so why it was here, I don't know. Because there's no water right by us.
No, we've had a lot of rain lately.
Yeah, right.
And
there are
lakes in the neighborhood.
Sure.
So just down the street. So it's not out of the question.
Yeah. And it was right by the girls. So yeah, snake's gone.
Mommy fixed it. Daddy pranced.
And then I did the snake dance after, like, you killed snake, you killed. And the girls just looked at me like, are you sure that's our daddy? 855-853-4802. That's our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, guys. This is Sean from Louisiana. I called a few months ago, and my story involved a chicken place and some onion rings, and I'll let you guys figure out the rest of it. Actually had something I really can't explain happened to me the other day. I don't know if it was paranormal or not, but I'm sharing this. Get your feedback. My grandmother, earlier this week, she's 88. She lives next door to me, and she called me about 8:30 at night. And we're having an unusual cold front in Louisiana. It was about 15 degrees that night. She called me at 8:30 that evening and said, hey, can you come over and fix my TV? I hit something on it. So, of course, I go over there, run over there in the 15-degree weather, and she had done this before. You know, she's 88. She hit something on the cable box or something, and it messes it up. She didn't know how to fix it. So I go over there, and I go, and I see the cable box is on, and I see that everything is working that's in the outlet, but I keep trying to turn the TV on, and the TV is not working. So I plug it in, plug it out, go manually go push the power button on the TV, and nothing. I turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. Or excuse me, plug it in, plug it out, and nothing. So I said, look, all her TVs are relatively old. We're talking probably mid-90s. I said, look, you just have an old TV. Try and just chalk it up. I don't think you hit anything. It's just time for a new one. Well, she goes, that's no problem. I have two more throughout the house. I said, okay, that's fine. Well, as I'm leaving, I said, well, let me just, you know, make sure your TV, everything's functioning okay. Well, I go in another part of our house. Everything is working but the TV, which the outlets, the lights, the radio, everything is working but the TV. I said, one TV, I know they're old, but one TV, you know, breaking is one thing. Two, that's kind of odd, all breaking at the same time. Well, then I said, well, let me go check your third one. Lo and behold, the third one, everything but the TV works. I was like, look, I know your TVs are old, but three TVs not working at the same time, that's kind of different. So I said, I can't explain it. And I jokingly said to her, I said, oh, house must be haunted or something. And she just laughed it off. She goes, of course it's not. She goes, oh, but the TV in the den, now this is obviously before it wasn't working today. She goes, oh, it cuts on from time to time in the middle of the night, turns off. And I hear voices in it, or I hear talking, and it turns right back off, and I go back to sleep. I was like, well, you know, maybe at some time somebody hit a timer and they didn't know how to fix it. Strange, but maybe explainable. She also told me that she hears people calling her name in the middle of the night. Now, half asleep could be her imagination. But all of those things mixed together, I thought was incredibly strange. And to top it off, the next morning she calls me and says, I had a nightmare last night. I said, okay. She said, well, I had a dream I was in a box. I was in a containment box. I said, oh, that's odd. She goes, and I was crawling on the floor in my box. And I said, okay, I'm trying to get out. And she woke up the next morning in the middle of her room on the floor, wrapped in a prayer shawl. Needless to say, that made for a strange 24 hours, kind of creepy for me as well, because one, you hate to hear anything like that to your grandmother, but eventually one day, and hopefully not anytime soon, my wife and my family, once my grandmother passes on, are going to move to that house. Again, I hope it's not anytime soon. Just a quick update to that story. 3 days later, the TV started working again. But all in all, it was a strange 24 hours at Grandma's house. So appreciate your show. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Thoughts?
I think any one of those things by itself would easily be just, whatever. It's nothing paranormal. But all those things together, I think, are pretty interesting.
It's interesting that she's saying that she's hearing other people talking to her and calling her name. And I don't want to wish any ill will on your grandmother by any means, so I'll tell you what I'm thinking, because you asked for what I was thinking. A lot of times that sort of thing seems to happen when folks are getting closer to the end.
Well, aren't you just a little ray of sunshine over there?
Sunshine! It is. I mean, you do hear that quite a bit, and we have heard that quite a bit on this show. Now, that does not mean that that is the case. It may just mean she has a ghost.
Yes.
It may mean there is something paranormal going on, which in itself is paranormal when I think that happens sometimes. So, I don't know. The TV stuff, though, doesn't necessarily play into that.
No.
So that's where I get a little bit confused. That's why I said specifically hearing people calling your name and things of that nature, that happens. You hear that a lot. It's a very common story. You don't necessarily have electronics malfunctioning around them, though.
Not typically.
So
we've heard about, like, in assisted living places, after people have gone,
sure,
the electronics starting to malfunction, like they're trying to still control the TV channel, mm-hmm, from their bed.
Sure.
But not like ahead of time. That makes me think there's something more going on than just a loved one calling from the other side, maybe.
Not someone just saying, hey, it's almost time. We're getting ready to bring you over.
Yeah.
It's there's something else going on, which is, can totally happen, being something else other than the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's an interesting story.
It is.
And like I said, I don't want to wish your grandma any ill will by any means, but I'm just giving you what my knowledge is on the subject.
What came to your mind?
Yeah. So,
okay,
that's that. 855-853-4802. 855-853-4802. That's a good grandson that goes and shows up to help grandma fix the TV.
Especially when you live next door to your grandmother. You're always there to help. That's,
yeah,
awesome.
That's a good thing. I mean, there's so many stories of people, oh, my grandma's been emailing me for months about this, and I finally got over it. It's like, no, can you? That would be horrible. You know, being poor grandma, she just wants to watch her programs,
mm-hmm,
you know, and, you know, especially it's probably if it's just her in the house, it's a kind of a lonely life. So you kind of have your programs to watch. And if you can't watch them, you know, especially if it's a simple fix.
Sure.
So it's very, he's a good grandson.
Yes.
855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Larry writes in, hey, Tony and Jen, my name is Larry, and like Art and Matt, who both have sent letters to you, I am a neighbor of Dave, Barb, Roy, Sue, and especially the ghost child, Sarah. Just to update you, Dave had gotten the flu and was down for New Year's, and the week after, Debbie, my wife, picked up the kids, Roy and Sue, and went back to our house to take care of them while Barb went to work. She was hoping Sarah would come too, but we think she stayed behind to keep an eye on Dave. Debbie did hear Sarah when she brought the kids back, but that is her story. Sarah has been seen in other houses now, but only in daytime, to the houses close to their house, to people she knows, and only on their side of the street. She seems to do this when she wants to thank us or other neighbors for something. My story happened about 2 years before Dave and Barb moved here. When they moved here, I bet they had no idea they'd moved into a perfect neighborhood for them. Some of us think that Sarah had a lot to do with the choice of the house. Like Dave, I'm a big fan of anything dealing with ghosts or monsters. It doesn't matter if it's fiction, true, or of urban legend status. I love them all. I got into all the ghost monster hunting shows and wanted to do some hunting myself. I don't have any of the fancy equipment that you see on the TV shows, but I do have a recorder and digital camera. On my first outing, I decided to find a haunted hotel room near home and go there by myself. I didn't want to bring anyone who would get frightened and run out, or even worse, laugh and make jokes at what I was doing. I found a good possibility on the internet that was only a few hours from my home. This looked perfect in that the ghosts were supposed to be an innkeeper and his wife who enjoyed being host and hostess. And the room rate was in my price range. I made my reservation for the next month in the room thought to be the most haunted, and I was looking forward to my visit. When I got there, it was all I imagined. It was an old stage stop along the National Highway and restored back to an old feel with modern conveniences. The room just felt warm and inviting and reminded me of my grandma's house. Everybody working there seemed like they had been looking forward to my stay. It even had a restaurant that had great food and better coffee. After dinner, I went back to my room to get started. Now, I had to tell the owner and staff what I was going to do, and all they asked was not to bother the other guests. I don't think I was the first person to investigate. After I got to my room, I pulled out my recorder, camera, and a notebook. I'd write everything down that I saw, what I felt, what pictures were taken, and what I heard in case the recorder failed to pick it up. I started asking questions and left time for an answer, took pictures, and just generally waited for something to happen. I wrote down everything I did. Nothing seemed to happen, and at 4 a.m. I decided to go back to my room and get into bed. In the morning, I got up, had breakfast, packed up my stuff, and headed for home. I was kind of down. Nothing seemed to happen the night before when I got home. I looked at all I had and was kind of surprised to find that there was a picture I had forgotten to write in the notebook. I downloaded the pictures to the computer, then started listening to the recorder. There was nothing other than my voice. I could even hear my movements, but nothing else. I was wondering how I missed a picture and waited until it turned up. When the picture came up, at first I found nothing strange, no shadows, strange mists, or blurs. It was just a picture of my room. It was the one that wasn't written in the notebook. No, it didn't have any ghostly image or floating objects, but when I looked closer, there was a picture of me while I was sleeping. Just then, I went back to the recorder and went to the point where I turned off the recorder and started it up again. There, after I turned off the recorder in the room, there was a new voice on the recorder of a woman. It said, "Gotcha." I know I had locked the door and always put my suitcase in front of the door so I would be awoken if something or someone had a key. The only thing I could think of was the ghost decided to play her own game. This was my one and only ghost hunting adventure. I do have other ghost stories, but never more was I allowed to actively hunt them. It freaked Debbie out, and she was afraid that I might have something evil follow me home. It's funny, since she likes Sarah so much as a neighbor, Larry.
That's pretty good.
A picture of you sleeping.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be interesting, because I think that at first you'd see it, and you'd just be like, okay, this is a normal picture. And you have to, wait a second.
Who took it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the gotcha. That's funny.
That's very interesting. Thank you, Larry, for writing that in. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you'd like more ghost stories, we got our EPP program available, as you probably have heard me talk about before. That's where you can support the show. You keep us on the air. We do need our EPPs to do just that, to go well into 2015. So if you'd like it to continue and you enjoy the show, please consider becoming an EPP. It's $5 a month. It's essentially like buying us a cup of coffee. So if you listen to the show, oh, I don't know, at least once a week, and you have your hour enjoyment, or 5 hours a week, consider buying us a cup of coffee. The $5 a month, it's easy to do, and you keep the show on the air. It's simple, it's easy, it's at Real Ghost Stories Online. And we give you a bonus episode, a whole extra episode to enjoy. Right now there's like 21 bonus episodes going out to you.
21 hours of ignoring everybody around you. It's wonderful.
Exactly. It's a great time, and they're really good stories too. There's a lot of folks have been saying how much they really do enjoy the EPP episodes up on our message board. Anna writes in. Before I begin my story, is it Anna or Anna?
How many N's?
Two.
Anna.
Anna. Mm-hmm. If it's Anna, is it, what is it?
A N A.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Because I'm so used to hearing the frozen Anna right now. That's why.
That's A N A.
I did not know that. Anna writes in, before I begin my story, I'd like to give you some background information. I'd lived in the same house in Missouri until I was about 11. My birthday is in May, and I moved to my new house in August, but we bought it in July. I was living with my mom because my dad wouldn't have time to take care of me, so I went down to my new house about a week before school started and had to go to daycare. Anyway, at my old house, the summer before I was going to fifth grade, my friend, to keep it anonymous, I'll use the first letter of her name, C, came over a lot that summer, and we played a lot outside. So we used my dad's stereo and played music on full blast so we could hear it outside. Then, after a while, the music, which was an Imagine Dragons album, started glitching out and skipping to parts, saying, like, I can't breathe, or I feel cold, or I'm bleeding out, etc. The scary part is we were at my house and it was just us. The next weekend, when my dad came home, I asked him if any of his other CDs would glitch. He said no. I checked the CD and it wasn't scratched at all. I didn't really play it when my parents were home, only when my friend was over. At first, we thought it was her dog that recently died. I believe it was a German Shepherd mixed breed, which could be able to mess with it. After that summer, I don't remember listening to that CD again or using that CD player. I always felt like I was being watched at that house, but that might be just what made me being weird. I forgot to mention earlier that I am an only child, so I play outside with just my dogs a lot. Also, my social studies teacher, who worked in Missouri, calls it Missouri. Ah, and I find it annoying. So do I. I always say Missouri.
I say Missouri.
Yeah. Being born there, I call it Missouri. Okay, so this person says Missouri, and they're from there. It's interesting. Okay, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to read my experience. Thanks again.
Okay, so skipping on a CD isn't necessarily paranormal, but it is very creepy that it only skipped during those particular phrases over and over.
It's interesting because it almost kind of reminds me, is that the Dybbuk box? Or not the Dybbuk. Is that the Dybbuk box?
No.
No. What is the thing that does the... it goes to the... picks out words as it scans the radio.
Ghost box?
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember what it's called, but not a Dybbuk box.
Okay, Dybbuk box is something different. The box that scans, and then you can kind of have a conversation almost like a Ouija board, and it picks up words, and sometimes it makes sense having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that kind of reminded me of.
Yeah.
So I could see that being along those lines with that story there.
I don't know that it could have been a dog communicating through human speech, though.
You don't think the dogs,
they thought it was a dog.
The dog giving messages?
I don't think so.
You think that ever happens? Is that animals do try to communicate using our language in some way, shape, or form?
I don't know.
Wonder if they could communicate through one of those boxes.
I have heard of dogs that can whimper or make a groan a certain way to make it sound like a word and be trained to do that.
I remember one in America's Funniest Home Videos.
Really?
Years ago. It was like, oh, the dog says hello or I love you or something. Like, rrr.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh my gosh, it's worth $10,000.
Yeah, I mean, you can train a dog to do a lot of different things, but I don't think it actually knows it's saying I love you.
Somebody needs to invent an app for that.
A dog app?
Pet communicator. You just stick it to the animal's head, and then it tells you what it's saying.
There was something like that in the movie Up, and it was really funny because the dog would get distracted, and he'd always go squirrel.
Well, here's the thought: if there's apps out there that are able to purportedly communicate with the dead, and they're able to communicate their thoughts and words through an app, couldn't we use create something that could take the energy from a living creature and try and translate what their emotions are into words?
No, because they don't use the same language we do. The dead use essentially some form of human language.
But translate it.
Huh?
Pet translator app. I'm not joking. I'm wondering if something like this could be done. I mean, you can tell when the dog's happy, when the dog's sad, if it wants something. I mean, it essentially wouldn't be like word for word. It's not going to give you sentences like, hey, today I went and saw some birds. Yeah, that was a really pretty red one. And it would be more like, I'm hungry. Or more so what it's feeling emotionally, if there's some way to sense that and then communicate that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but how?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm just asking if it can be done.
How about you just train the dog to hit a bell when it's hungry?
Hey, that's a good idea.
I think Pavlov did that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. Felicia writes in, hello, it's Felicia. I'd like to provide some updates regarding some occurrences that took place after the day my dad and I heard a growl in our basement. After that day, the lamp next to my bed would turn itself on, usually at around 5 in the morning. This is the time I wake up to get ready for work. At first, I thought it was an electrical problem. It's an old lamp, after all, so I switched my old lamp with a more recently purchased one. Nothing changed. Then, while lying down at one night, the sound of someone breathing resonated throughout my room. I spent the next few minutes distracting myself by internet surfing until drowsiness set in. Next morning, I said, "I don't mind you turning on the light, but you did kind of freak me out when you were breathing out loud. Do they even need to breathe? If you want to stay in my room, you'll need to follow some rules. One, doesn't breathe. Make any strange noises or throw things or do anything too crazy. Two, do not scare or harass my cat, friends, or relatives, because that's just rude. If you can follow these two simple rules, you're welcome to be my roommate." The next few weeks, the light turning on was the only daily occurrence. Unfortunately, I'd also wake up to the glaring light on weekends, too. So I said, "Thank you for helping me wake up in the morning. I really appreciate it. I do not work weekends, though, and would love to have some extra sleep." The lamp only turned on Monday through Friday afterward until one day it stopped and there were no longer cold spots in my room. My mom asked if my friend was still around and I said, "Nope, he left." The next morning I heard a voice saying, "I'm back." Later on I exchanged the old lamp for one I received as a Christmas gift. It is a knob switch that adjusts the lamp's brightness, and for a few days it stayed off. One morning the lamp was switching brightness settings erratically, as if it was trying to say, "See, I can figure this out." Now we're back to our daily routine. Recently he roams around the house when everyone is up and the atmosphere is lively. One night Mom wanted to watch TV but could not find the remote anywhere. After a few minutes searching with Dad, they turned around and it was suddenly on the couch. We all watched TV together that night. Finally, after a night of drinking and band practice, Dad sent me a video Mom shot with her phone. It's a very brief clip of Dad playing his stand-up bass while Mom is laughing in the background. Of course, we listened to it on high volume over and over again while laughing. Then I asked, "Hey, did you guys have a friend over that night?" And he said, "No. Why?" I responded with, "There's a male voice in the background." I wanted to tell him the voice sounded like it came from the same individual that growled in the basement and is currently hanging out in my room, but you can only say so much before hearing someone laugh while saying, "Oh, you..." I'm going to send the file through Facebook messaging. You may have to turn up the volume a bit, but other than that, the voice sound should be clear. I'd like you to listen to it and give some feedback regarding what is being said. At the very end of this letter, I inserted what Dad and I had heard. Avoid reading our interpretation before listening to the recording. This way, your interpretation will not be derived from the power of suggestion. The events I will write about next time involve someone who has been around for a while, my grandpa. Thank you for taking the time to read this, and I apologize for how lengthy it is. Have a great day, Felicia. P.S. We heard him say, "Hey, pretty good." Did you get that audio file?
I haven't. I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, so it wasn't attached.
No, it was sent to us through Facebook, and I haven't found it, so...
Let me take a quick gander and see. Okay, Felicia. Dun, dun, dun. Downloading. Okay, let me turn off the other music here. This is going to be a little difficult because it's going to keep looping. And the ow is it looping, if you couldn't gather that without me saying it. Here we go. Okay, here it is again. It's literally like a 3 second or 1 second clip. Let me turn off the looping once. You can hear that.
I heard it. I heard it really clear.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a male.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a man talking.
Yep.
You hear the deep rumble of the bass.
Uh-huh.
I don't get any words out of it, but all I get is the...
It sounds like, huh, pretty good.
Like what?
Huh, pretty good.
Okay, I hear it.
Yeah.
Like good, like, huh, pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Like the D got cut off.
Yeah, but you can hear it really distinctly. You can hear the male's voice there.
You can. Well, that's creepy.
Thanks for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802. That's our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another letter. This one is coming into us from Jesse. Jesse says, okay, I really don't know how to start this here, but here we go. Every time someone close to me dies, I always know the day before they go. I always have the same dream, but different, you know? It's a dream of all my loved ones in one room that have passed and myself. They see me and they actually talk to me. When I was 4 or 5, my mother's dad died, which is my papa, and I had a dream the day before he passed. It was him in a room with his legs, which was weird because I don't have any memory of him with his legs. He lost them due to his bad case of diabetes. There was also a woman I didn't know with a man. I had no idea who he was. I walked into the room and he turned around and smiled and told me everything was going to be okay and to make sure that my grandma, whom I called Mimao, and her new boyfriend, whom he knew by the name Earl, were always happy. This was weird because she didn't meet Earl until I was 12. When I was 14, he came back to me by myself and told me not to be frightened when Mimao told us the news she had for us the next day and to not cry. The next day, my grandma sat everyone down and told us she had lung cancer and she had been fighting for almost a year but didn't want any of us to worry about her. I had a dream the day before she died and the day after, and I had a dream before my dad's mom, Nana, died. I always wake up and I'm not scared, but I always want to go back to sleep to continue the dream. I just want to get y'all's opinion on this. Thanks.
Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I don't think I would tell the loved ones, hey, I had that dream. You're in the room now. You're going to die.
Guess who's in the room? Bring like a Hallmark card.
It would probably be, to me, it'd be kind of comforting to not be just blindsided by that, to kind of have a little heads up.
Would you tell? Okay, I see not telling the actual person. I get you there. That's a little disturbing. But what about like a loved one? Like a brother, a sister, a mom, or a dad. As long as it's not the person who's dying.
Well, you're already yourself burdened with that information. Would you want to share that? I don't think I'd want to share that with anybody. So, I would just make sure I would do everything I could to make that last phone call. Not like, hey, you're going to die. I just want you to know I love you. But just say those things that you have been putting off saying. Because we all have those things.
Sure. And by the way, you're going to die. That's why I'm telling you everything right now. By the way, I had the dream. I'm sending you a create a card. Hope it makes it to you before you kick it.
That's great.
Do they still do create a card? Remember create a card?
No.
Remember those stands that were like at Hallmark and you can make your own greeting card? It was kind of neat because there was like a, it was on like a computer screen. It was a touch screen deal.
Uh-huh.
And then you could actually watch the card being printed in front of you, and it was almost kind of like, it was like a pen that would come out, and it was really kind of neat to watch because it would do some graphic work and everything, and you could watch it being drawn out.
No, I don't remember those.
Those were fun.
Yeah.
I always pressed the buttons, and my mom yelled at me.
Yeah, I could see you pressing all the buttons.
I loved the touchscreen computers when, like, nobody, because that was such a novelty at one point in time,
mm-hmm.
which is funny, because now it's like our children have their own touchscreen computers and we have how many of them around the house and this and that, but it was like the gift registry at JCPenney was like the only touchscreen computer I could think of, and I would just go there just to touch it, like, oh wow, this is amazing, I'm touching a TV screen and it's reacting. Now they're everywhere. Anyhow, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's do a call. Robert in Utah. Hi,
Tony. This is Robert again with the third, the last of my stories from the depot there in Oregon. And I'm sorry, I'm not the most eloquent person out there, but here we go. Okay. So I'm working one night in one of the blocks where we stored mustard. Now, this block was separated. It was fenced, had a double fence and cameras and all that other stuff over it. And because there was mustard gas out there. And it was, if you wanted to slough off, this was probably the best post we had out there, because there was whomever was inside the building on the badge box. And then you had an officer who, it was his job to roam around. And there were like 30 igloos with, like I said, mustard gas. And in these one-ton overpacked containers, because they leak sometimes. And I'd heard at one point, like from like the older guys, said they had all this mustard and stuff just out somewhere, and they would leak, and they put coffee cans under them to catch it, you know. So it was that bad. There were places you didn't travel because you knew they were contaminated. But they had these in these igloos, and you were in this block, and like I said, it was you and another officer. And because of the way it was set up when you came in, it was a pain in the ass to get into. So pretty much if you were out there, nobody came to check on you because they didn't want to go through the hassle of coming in. You know, we had either the shift captain or down to the sergeant. Somebody was supposed to check on you, but they never did. So if, like, you wanted to bring your electronics or sleep or whatever, that was the place to do it and not get busted. But and then the sally port was set up. There was a sally port with a double gate for the trucks. You came in, the gate was open, and then it closed behind you. Somebody had to go out there and, like, thoroughly search the vehicle. Then you were let through a gate, through a turnstile, and then back out. You know, you had to exchange your badges. And if you didn't have a badge to get in the area, then you didn't get in. But and then the other gate was open, and you were let through. For pedestrians, there was a long walk through a fenced area. You were let in through a turnstile. You came in and approached the window, exchanged your badge, and then let through another turnstile, and then out through the gate. Two people were not allowed to come in the vehicle. It was one at a time. So, again, like I said, it was the process was a pain in the butt, so nobody came out there if they didn't have to. And unless you were in good with the person who did the scheduling, you got that post maybe once a month, you know, if you were lucky. So I'm out there one night, and surprise, surprise, I had it twice in the same week, which never happened. So I'm out there, and this was my second posting out there that week. And I'm out there, and usually when I'm out there, I listen to the radio and read. I like to read. History's my thing. So I like to read. But this night, I brought my computer because I was going to watch a video, not a movie. The little town that I lived in, when they put the dams in on the Columbia River in the 1950s, they literally moved the town up a little ways, you know. They bought people's houses and moved them out of where it was going to flood. So I'd gotten this documentary, and I'm going to watch it. So it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'm watching this thing, and I'm kind of sitting where I can still see, you know, out, see the windows and whatever. And I see a head kind of peek around through one of the windows, just somebody sort of leaned in. Now, I hadn't seen my officer who was on patrol. He'd gotten his truck, and he went out there, and he sort of camped out somewhere for the night, which was fine with me. But anyhow, so I see this head lean in, and when I looked up, they leaned back, and it was kind of right there by the door, but still out in the chemical area. So I pause my documentary, and I go out there, and, you know, and I had to open the little gate by a button there, electronic button, hit that, but I go outside, and I'm looking around, and there's nobody. In fact, I mean, I was kind of nonpulsed. I stood out there and had a smoke and whatever, and just sort of looked around, and then didn't see anybody. So about 20 minutes later, I come back in there. I settle down, whatever. I'm watching this documentary again, and then I'm watching it, and again, you know, I'm thinking nothing. And after about 20 minutes or so, I look, and there were two windows to look out, and these were like ballistic windows, you know, thick windows, but you had a couple to look out into the area. And there's the form nondescript, but just the form of a person standing in one of those windows. And it kind of got my attention. Well, of course, as soon as I see it, they move off in the opposite direction of where they had before. And again, I mean, the second time, I'm thinking, yeah, I saw something. If I hadn't seen it the second time, I probably would have just let it go. And there were swallows that were up there. They had nests in the ceilings and whatever, you know, made of mud and all this stuff. But, like, they didn't stir unless you bothered them. They didn't stir usually until morning. So there was nothing else there. Like I said, this was a secured area, you know. And so we didn't have just wildlife wandering around through there or whatever. But the second time I saw it, I knew I saw something. If I hadn't seen it that second time, I probably would have let it go. And of course, I couldn't find that person. They weren't there. So this time I did tell, you know, what I saw. And the other one with the truck, it did go on the blotter because it was a chase that ensued and stuff. And Lieutenant told me this was, you know, a couple of years back from this one. But he said, you know, because it's on the blotter, he says, don't be surprised if somebody comes and asks you about it. But no one ever did. So anyhow, this one, I'm telling some of the guys. And I asked my guy who's out there, and I did look out the window. I didn't see his truck or whatever. And I asked him, hey, did you come up and stand in the window at about 2:30 or so? And he's like, no, you know, I was out there doing my thing. Never came up until morning. It's like, oh, okay. So I'm asking a few other people if they've seen anything out there. And then you start hearing stories from other people. There were people who said that, yeah, that they've seen this. They've seen numerous times that they had seen or they had thought that they saw somebody pass by the windows and go through the turnstiles, which you couldn't do because you had to manually open them from inside. But they saw this person or someone pass through the turnstiles through that area or walking in a different area. When they looked, they weren't there. A lady whom we'd had there, and she said she thought she was just going nuts. She said that she's in there one night, and the building had been changed. When I was there, it was just a square building. You had a door to go into the back, and that's where the generator was. But apparently before, the building was a lot bigger and longer, and where the bathroom to it was now led to a hallway where down at the end of it there was a break room and all this other stuff, and which wasn't there anymore. So, but she says that she's working there one night, and she was a reader as well. So she's reading, and she says an officer comes through in a different type of uniform than what we're wearing. Someone whom, and she could plainly see this person as opposed to me, but because I couldn't, but she sees a person. They come in, they look at her, go into the bathroom, and she said she gets up and she's asking them, you know, hey, who the hell are you? And they're gone. And then, you know, and I heard a couple other things that people had saw in that block. Just most of it, like with me, with just a nondescript person, they'd see somebody at the window or there in where the turnstiles were or something. So I don't know. I mean, nobody ever really knew who it was or what it was, but the stagecoach trail that ran through there was real close to that area. This was the stage line that ran down to Portland, and then somewhere on the depot there was one that cut off and it went down to the town, because back in the 1860s, I'd say, there was a ferry that went across, and that was the cutoff to go to Seattle, so you didn't have to go to Portland and cross there. And then in the 1860s, it took people to and from the gold fields of Idaho. But so I don't know if this person was associated with that or what. But okay, so that's the third one. and the last for that. And then I have had things happen in houses that I lived in, but I won't get into those today. I just wanted to tell you those three in one coherent, well, one incoherent telling, but all at once, you know. All right, and thanks for the show, and thanks for what you guys do. All right, and bye.
So an otherwise kind of relaxing job to have, I mean, to be on the duty of going around and checking those buildings, and then I have that face pop up again.
You constantly are afraid that you're going to run into something.
Yeah.
Not so much a relaxing job anymore.
Very active place that he works.
Yeah, very much so. And I have a feeling that's not going to be the last of the stories from him.
I don't know if he still works there. If it's,
no?
I don't know if he's telling us stories from his past or
okay.
or what, but it sounds like it so far. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to see.
Very, very interesting stuff. Thanks for calling in and sharing your stories with us. If you want more ghost stories, just become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get the bonus episodes sent to you every single week. And right now, 21 episodes going out directly to you as soon as you sign up. It's only $5 a month for what you pay for a cup of coffee. Keeps our show alive and going. So if you enjoy the show, you spend some hours with it throughout the week, throughout the month. If it's worth it to you to keep us on the air, please become an EPP. $5 a month, you get a bunch of extra episodes, and you keep the ship afloat. So please consider doing that. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.